afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Well, you know, one of my guests said recently that hope needs to make a comeback. Hope needs to make a comeback. You look around and you can despair. You look too long at the news or just the upheaval happening in culture and in families. It's easy to lose perspective and then lose hope. But our hope in Christ never disappoints. And as we persevere with Him, as we obey Him, as we trust Him in the hard times, something happens in our character and it produces hope. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, this isn't a hope-so hope. This is a no-so hope, because we're not hoping in specific outcomes. Our hope is in the Lord. And this is why we're talking to Pam Farrell today. You've known her. I'm sure she's been on the show plenty of times. And she's co-written a hefty Bible study, and it's titled Discovering Hope in the Psalms. In fact, we gave a few of these away at our recent share event. And just picture a big, thick workbook. This is like a creative work of art, because there's places where you can kind of doodle and color, and then it's an in-depth study on Psalms and how you find the theme of hope throughout. And we've got three copies of this hefty thing. I'm telling you, it's weighty. Let me just look here. It's $20 for this big, thick Bible study. We got three copies to give away. If you want to start a new Bible study and you need hope to make a comeback in your life, you can get in on the drawing. We won't be taking calls today. So email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. A couple quick announcements first. Our great giveaway is this Thursday. And if this is the first you're hearing about it, I want you to know about it. Every single year on Live the Promise, our hope and prayer is to mobilize thousands of you that we could all engage in random acts of kindness. And then on Thursday, we open the phone lines. It's like you come back from the mission field and you tell us all about it. And you can even call anonymously. But everybody who gets on the air will get a Christmas candy bar and a book off of our Faith Radio shelf. And then two of you will win. The two most inspiring stories will win a great giveaway gift basket filled with all kinds of fun goodies, along with a bunch of books. And those gift baskets equal about $100 value, both of them. So I'd love to have you prayerfully consider what God would have you do if you've not done this yet. Engage in a random act of kindness and then call to tell us about it this Thursday. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Pam Farrell with her husband Bill are international speakers and authors of over 45 books, including the best-selling Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. They are relationship specialists and seek to help people become love wise. Pam has a heart for women, first as a mentor and a youth pastor's wife, then serving for 15 years as director of women's ministry alongside her husband Bill, who was a senior pastor. Pam, welcome back to the program.
So good to be here. I just love hanging out with you. If we lived in the same city, we'd do coffee all the time.
Indeed, yes. And I always have a weather envy, because you live in the city where there's sunshine about 365 days a year.
That's right. It's pretty much always 72 and perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, in Southern California. I'm blessed. And for that reason.
So grateful to have you, Pam. I'd love to know, as you know, you love to start every conversation talking scripture. And I don't know if you have a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Well, one of my favorite verses that's in Discovering Hope in the Psalms, I kind of see it as the theme verse, the heartbeat. And here it is. It's Psalms 71:14. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you, God, more and more. And the reason why I love that is it's so personal. That God says, you know, if we say that out loud, it's like we stake a claim on hope. And that word hope means to wait expectantly for God to show up and to show off for your good and for God's glory. And what better Christmas present could be than that? That's what God wants to give every person, is Himself. In whatever circumstance they're dealing with. So I love that verse.
Pam, give us that definition one more time. I want to see if we can grab that for a tweet. Hope?
Yeah. Hope means to wait expectantly for God to show up and show off for your good and for His glory.
It's fantastic.
It really means to trust while you tarry. And trust in a way that, you know, I do live in Southern California, and so we have some hammocks, you know, around the marina, people's pools and things, and it's a picture of you climbing into God's hammock and resting there while He works. And I just love that picture, you know. The Psalms are just full of hope, and one of the Psalms 62 says that my hope is in, my rest is in God alone. my hope is in him. And that word rest is that same picture. Climb into my hammock. Rest in me while I do the work. What a good God.
Indeed. Wow. Well, you've written a lot of books. I want to know how this one, this particular study, was first born in your heart.
Yeah. So this actually, if I could describe what I've gone through, is a series of Christmases that are kind of markers in my life. And it starts back about 5 years ago with hope. And then Christmas dreary, didn't have a lot of hope. Bill was like driving back and forth and back and forth for a couple of years, taking care of his aging parents, and a lot, you know, the ministry demands, the deadlines, and all the normal stuff going on as well. And his dad is physically frail, and his mom is mentally frail, and so it's a big chore, this caretaking role that we're doing right now. And he was driving across LA traffic doing all of that, so between a 6 and a 10 hour round trip drive.
Wow.
Every week for a couple of days a week, and he was just exhausted. And one day he walked in and I could just see the weariness on him, and I said, taking care of your parents is killing you. We just can't keep, you can't keep going like this, hon. Something's going to happen. That's not good. And I know the kind of man you are. You would give it all for your folks because you are a good man. But I think that there must be a different plan. And so we began to pray, and we really realized that we needed to move closer to them. We were the only ones in California, and this is what God was calling us to. And but it wasn't an easy thing. And just because something is right doesn't make it easy. But we knew it was the right thing to do. And so that meant putting our home in the market and, let's see, with our office and selling our home. And I just really felt like that Christmas, it felt a little dreary, and I had to go and hunt down hope. And so I went to the Christmas story, and because I was feeling like God, like one day in my quiet time going through the Christmas story, God reminded me that everybody was displaced in the Christmas story, you know, like the angels weren't at home. I mean, they had to work on Christmas, and Mary and Joseph weren't at home, and they were traveling, and maybe Jesus wasn't at home in heaven. No, he came down and gave it all for us, born in a manger, in a shed, basically. And even the wise men weren't at home. They were traveling to go, you know, find this Christ child, and the shepherds weren't at home, and so nobody was home. And that really comforted me, because wow. What I felt like God was saying is, I want you to give up your home. You can have your husband, or you can have your house, but you can't have them both right now. And so when I saw, wow, homelessness, this displaced thing, it's in the Christmas story. Mm. That gave me hope that God has lived it out. He goes before us. Mm. And so during that same Christmas, towards the end of that Christmas, my friend Jean called me, and she's a fabulous Bible teacher, and we have known them for years. Her husband is a professor at Biola, and that's where my husband, you know, graduated his master's, and so they have a lot in common, and we have been friends. And she said, I've written this Bible study on the Psalms about the ones that have hope in the Psalms, and would you be willing to edit it? And I'm like, wow, thank you, God. It's like you hand-delivered hope to me. Of course. Yes, I will do that. I love you. I think you're a fabulous Bible teacher. I trust you. I think God sent this. Yes, yes, yes. And so my hope began to increase as I spent time in that Bible study doing some editing and just some global, like, hey, let's try this. Hey, let's try that. And I wasn't a part of the team at that point. I was just being the editor. But I loved it so much, and it gave me so much hope as I dug into the Psalms that when I wrote the cover letter, I was probably a little exuberant about the changes it had made in my own life. And the publisher came back and said, wow, we would really love to do this Bible study, but would you co-author? Would you be willing to co-author? And I'm like, sure. And they asked for the devotionals, that I would write the devotionals and apply them to women's lives and help them hold on to hope tangibly in their daily lives. I'm like, sure, I would love to do that. And then I said, you know, we added this creative element, and both Jean and I are creatives. What if we, you know, Harvest House, you're like own it in the area of covering books and scripture. What if we put some coloring pages by my friend's amazing artist, Carla Dornature? You know, maybe I can talk Carla into coming on board. And so the three of us teamed up, and it's like one of the ways that God gives hope is that he puts people alongside you to give you hope. And that's what we've been to each other as co-authors as well. So it's kind of the baseline of how the Bible study kind of got off the ground.
That is an amazing story. How did Jean handle that? I mean, obviously, I mean, it started with this idea with her, but this goes to show you if we're willing to not be territorial, and you know, my boss always says, you can get a lot done when you don't care who gets the credit. And that's something we try to operate. There's no egos on this team at Faith Radio, which I love because behind the scenes, we're setting the table so many can feast. But still, this started out to be her baby. How did she sort through that? Because the finished product is absolutely amazing.
Jean is one of the most humble, wise, godly women that I know.
Wow.
And her purpose is to give women hope. She's been through so much herself in life, and her stories about overcoming her and her husband, overcoming some really big things in life, including struggling to have children and not being able to, and cancer scares and her own health issues. Just she shares very honestly and authentically, and she has seen God pull her through some amazing things that she just wants to hand hope to every woman. And no matter what it takes to get it and hope to women, that's what she wants. She wants God's best to go out to women. And she just has a heart to serve. And that's one of the reasons that I've always loved Jean, is because she puts other people first. And including her co-authors, she's always our cheerleader on our teams as well. And like Carla has several coloring books, and one of them is a coloring book that has verses about hope in it. So you can get like double duty. You can get, you know, Discovering Hope in the Psalms, the coloring pages in Discovering Hope in the Psalms that Carla did. And then she has this additional coloring book that has all these amazing verses all through the Bible, not just in the Psalms, that are verses of hope. And Jean's been a cheerleader to Carla as well in that area. And so, and Carla is the same. We're all older, seasoned women. You know, that means over 40. And, you know, one of the verses in the Bible, in Discovering Hope in the Psalms, is that you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, since my youth. And it's written by somebody gray, okay? Let's just say, or coloring the gray. That's all three of us are coloring the gray and giving out hope.
That's beautiful. Talking to Pam Farrell today, co-author of the beautiful Bible study, Discovering Hope in the Psalms. As I said, this is a weighty study. There are pages to color, but it's don't let that fool you. So that's kind of a creative expression of digging deep into the Psalms. But it's a pretty in-depth study of different Psalms where the theme is hope. If you need this experiential kind of a study to jumpstart your year, email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Psalms in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. And we will be back in a minute. Maybe it feels like that, a bleak midwinter for you. Holidays are such a bittersweet time for some, because you see, if you're walking with pain in your heart and others seem so happy and their life looks like the Christmas commercial, it almost mocks your pain, you know? And that's where you need hope. I'm talking to Pam Farrell today. She co-authored a really a beautiful Bible study, Discovering Hope in the Psalms. It's a big, just hearty workbook where you're digging into Psalms where that have the theme of hope, and then there's just all these creative opportunities. You can color, you can doodle, and there's also exercises to paint your own picture or to go on a walk, but to engage with God in such a way that you experience the Psalms. And let's look at this first one, Psalm 1, the hope of God's blessing. And I'll just read it, and I'd love to have you speak to it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Talk about that psalm and just how it landed on you.
Okay, so that psalm is very personal to me in a kind of a unique way. So go back to that Christmas where we are selling our house, we're getting everything ready to get the house on the market. And in California, we've had a drought for 10 years. This is the first year we've not had a drought. Mm. So it was still drought time. And there's these beautiful trees on my property and also my neighbor's property. And one of those trees, I mean, it looks beautiful on the outside, but there's this beetle that attacks trees and sucks the guts right out of it, basically hollows it out, but you can't tell that it's happened. And it only happens during the drought time. And this huge tree fell across our road, and it didn't even take much of a wind. It was like a breeze that blew it down. And I remember thinking, I was reading and I was pondering this verse and, you know, doing some study on it. And I remember thinking, Lord, I don't want to be one of those trees that just like a little breeze can, throw you over. I want to be a strong tree. I want to be a Psalms 1 tree, a tree that's planted by water that's, really watered, that I'm in the Word all the time. I'm strong. I have deep, deep roots. Like Colossians said, to sink our roots deeply. And I just looked at that tree that day, and I said, Lord, if being a part of this team helps women have the kind of hope that gets them in the Word where the real strength is, then I want to be a part of this team. I want to be one of those strong trees, and I want to help other women become strong as well. And when I was over speaking, like a lot of people might be familiar with like Hillsong and some of their music. Well, it comes from Australia, and then it's overseas in Australia a few years back. And we were traveling through this forest region, and there's these fig trees in a grove. And when you walk through, they're strong and they're mighty and they're tall, and you just can't knock them down. Nothing can knock them down. And when you look down at the roots, it's because all the roots are intertwined, and then they go deep. And so that's really a twofold message there in Psalms 1. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. So you don't want to walk with people who are wicked, and you definitely don't want to stop and then stand there and talk to people that are foolish and sinning, and you definitely don't want to sit down and hang out with them and let their thinking rule your mind. No, God's saying, no, I have something better. I want you to be in the Word so that you're not blown away just like chaff, that you can be strong. And so seeing those fig trees that were strong and mighty with their roots woven into each other just reminded me how important it is to be listening to a show like yours, Susie, every day, hanging out with you because you're always in the Word, being in a women's Bible study, going to women's conferences like that you and I do. I have been blessed using your journaling through the Psalms in my daily quiet time. This last year while I've been writing on the Psalms, I've been hanging out with you in the Psalms, journaling. And so those kind of practices, hanging out with people that also want to be Psalms 1 trees, will fan hope in your life as well. So get in the Word and then hang out with people who love the Word too. Like it basically is a call to be in a grove of Psalms 1 trees. Get in the Word and be in a grove of people that love the Word too.
Loved in this chapter how you creatively reflected on this passage. You hiked up a mountain with a friend. You studied and learned that streams are actually irrigation canals in the Middle East. You drew a picture of a tree planted by streams of water. Just love for you, Pam, to explain how these creative experiences deepened your understanding and appreciation for this particular psalm.
It's really interesting that about a year before, all my kids have launched now, and the whole scripture and creativity, the coloring book started coming out, and I got connected to a group of women that love the Word and also love to create using scripture. And I picked up a Bible art journal, and it's just the Bible with like really wide margins where you can draw and do lettering and things like that. And so a year before I started writing Discovering Hope, I was doing Bible art journaling, and what I found is as I drew out these images, the verse was sticking in my heart. The Word tells us to meditate on your Word day and night. Even in that Psalms 1 verse, that's an encouragement of what God wants you to do. And so I thought, well, if this is helping my mind that, is needing to memorize, but memorizing isn't always easy. If I do something creative, like sing a song, like the worship songs, or if I draw and use the verse itself as a part of the picture, like the leaves all having the verse in it, or having the verse run up the tree trunk that I'm drawing on Psalms 1, as I'm drawing it, I'm memorizing it. And so that's a win-win. One of the reasons I took up the whole Bible art thing and why we left room in the Discovering Hope in the Psalms Bible thing with really wide margins and blank spaces for you to draw is because, you know, one day I will be in heaven with Jesus, and yay, glory, awesome. But my kids may still be here on earth, and my grandkids may still be here on earth. And so maybe they'll pick up my Bible, and where they might not read one of my sermons, they might thumb through and look at those images, and that might draw their hearts closer to Jesus or back to Jesus. I don't know what they're going to go through, but God knows. And so as we follow God and just whatever the next thing he's called us to do, chances are it's not just for ourselves, it's for our legacy, it's for our heritage, it's for the inheritance he wants us to give to our family, our kids, our grandkids, even at Christmas time. Think about how you're going to give the word to your family, not just a tie doesn't change somebody's life, but a book, the Bible, something to help them study the Bible, that might be life-changing.
Hmm. Well, Pam, we've got about a minute before our hard break at the bottom, but I'd love for you to say a word about when you ask the person going through the study to write their own psalm. Explain what you mean there.
You know, really what the psalms are is it's an outpouring of each psalmist's heart. Most of them are David, but some are written by a few other people. And he's just really honest and authentic and pouring out his heart before God. And that's a great way to synthesize scripture, is to take the scripture in and say, okay, how would this then apply to my life? And how could I write a love letter or a song or a psalm back to God and apply it to my own life? So blessed is Pam, who doesn't walk in the counsel of the crazy people in the headlines, nor stand in the way of people making really bad choices, or sit with people that mock God. No, blessed is Pam when she delights in the law of the Lord. God, I'm going to delight in you this year by putting on praise music, by saying, Alexa, play Susie Larson. I'm going to delight in you by, and just lift it off. And so by personalizing it and writing your own psalm, it helps you walk it out.
We're going to be back in a moment with Pam Farrell talking about her new Bible study, Discovering Hope in the Psalms. It's fantastic. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Can't quite get enough of that Danny Gokey Christmas album. It's just amazing. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Pam Farrell, who's co-written an amazing Bible study, Discovering Hope in the Psalms, this big, thick workbook, in-depth study of psalms that issue hope. And then there's pages for coloring and doodling and writing and reflecting, and then just all kinds of study material to help you get as much out of the scripture as you can imagine. We've got three copies of this study, and if you really feel like I need a new one for the new year, email to get in the drawing. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Psalms or something like that in the subject line. And please remember that mailing address. And Pam, let's look at Psalm 2, the hope of Messiah's reign. This one might be a little trickier for some to understand. So I'll just read a portion of it and have you just speak to it. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Talk about that whole idea of the hope of Messiah's reign and what that passage means to you.
And yeah, that passage is really a glimpse into the promise of the Messiah coming. So it's very linked to Christmas, you know. And we look around and oftentimes we see people that are evil prospering, and it's very frustrating to us. And we sometimes might look at the headlines and feel like life is out of control. But God has said, oh, no, life is not out of control. You know, I have everything under control. Ask me and I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. And this is God speaking, I will break them with a rod of iron, dash them to pieces. So he basically just saying, I'm in control. These people, these rulers, they think they're boss. No, there's one boss. There's one God, and it is me.
Amen.
And so it's really a psalm of hope when you think about it, that when the world feels out of control, God is still in control. He is still sovereign. And I think the very favorite line in that whole psalm is the last one. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. When we run to him, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who run to him are safe. And so if we tuck ourselves under the character into who God is and his traits and his power and his might, instead of taking on life ourselves or trusting in human leaders, our true hope comes when we realize that God is in control and he sees our lives and he cares about our lives. And when we bow our knee before him and treat him like he is the King of Kings, when we set God on the throne of our life, basically, hope comes. As for me, this is why Carla drew this beautiful heart with a crown on it for us to color. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. And so our life is that holy hill, and it's our choice to then bend our knee and say, no, God, you are king of my life. You are the sovereign one. Whatever you say, I will do. Wherever you lead, I will go. That's when hope comes, because he knows us better than we even know ourselves. And he sees all of our life and all the things that are coming. So who could direct us better than the sovereign God? Mm. And so there's a lot of hope for the individual life, but a lot of hope in just the promise that God fulfills his promises. You know, the Messiah did come, and the Messiah is coming again.
Amen, Pam. And when you think about the nations and the leaders, that's one way to despair, because you think it's so much bigger than I am. And then you, as you listen, as we listen to you, it's a reminder that he's sovereign and nothing. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. And Graham Lotz has been on the show plenty of times, and she often says things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. And yet it's easy. I love that. It's easy, though, to look at the grand scheme and go, okay, he's in control in that way. But if you scoot a little closer to my personal life, is he in control there? Will he vindicate me? How have you learned over the years to entrust justice, vindication to the Lord, just on a personal level, where you entrust your story, your reputation, or whatever, to God, to the point where you talk about that, if you would?
You know, then we might want to hop over to one of my favorite passages and many people's favorite passages, and that's in Discovering Hope in the Psalms, and that's Psalms 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's a very personal psalm to me, because it was the first psalm I ever memorized. A little girl used to get up early on Sunday mornings in a home with an alcoholic dad with severe rage issues and a mom that had more spiritual questions than answers. I would get up early before everybody else, and I would go into the living room in front of my little black and white TV and turn on this religious broadcasting. And it was like this little David and Goliath show, and they did Bible stories. And then following that, there was this family, kind of a father knows best kind of family, but they all went to church together, and the father really loved and sacrificed for his kids. It was very different than my home. And I would tuck my little jammies around me, and I would say, God, when I grow up, I want to have a house that's like this house, that's all normal, that's not crazy and chaotic and scary. And shortly after that, my mom's best friend, she saw the chaos we were living in, and she invited us to come to church. And there at church, I met loving people, people whose lives had been transformed, like your life, Susie, I know your story. And I saw how God led them there and led them to his word. And the word gave strength. And so the pastor said, if you memorize Psalms 23, we'll give you a little prize out of this treasure chest. And I'm like, that sounds cool, little seven-year-old Pam. Mm. And so I memorized Psalms 23. And they gave me a cross, and it glowed in the dark. And I pinned it on my bulletin board. And then the pastor said, if you memorize Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you can have a place on quiz team. And so I memorized Matthew 5, 6, and 7, because in a little town of 100 people, quiz team is kind of like American Idol. And so you want to, you know, do something fun like that. And so I was memorizing on my bed one day, and my dad had been drinking all day and all night. He was in a rage, got very scary. And I went and got my little brother and my little sister because I was afraid for them. I brought them into my room. I tucked them into my bed, and I shut off the light. And glowing in the dark was that little cross. And then it read, Jesus lives. Jesus, the pastor says you're stronger than anything. And if that's true, and I believe that it is, please come into my life and be my best friend, my Savior, my Lord. Because when I grow up, I don't want a house that's crazy scary like this. I want to have a house that's like Kathy's house, who invited us to come church, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I didn't know it was for the Spirit. I want to have a house like that. And P.S. God, if you could work it out, love to marry a pastor one day. And I have seen God unfold that. And I grew up on a sheep farm in southeast Idaho. And so the Lord is my shepherd, that he leads me to green pastures. I've seen it happen. You know, when I needed leadership, I wasn't getting it from my parents. God sent somebody to me to lead me to greener pastures. He makes me lie down beside still waters. When my life has been in turmoil, he's brought me to the Word and given me verses of hope and help and healing. And he restores my soul. He has transformed me from the inside out. I'm not the same broken woman that if I would have repeated all the patterns that my household would have taught me. No, no, God transformed me just as he's transformed you. And we've seen the power of God being our shepherd moment by moment by moment, leading us through even the valley of the shadow of death where others might fear. You know, God sends hope and healing, his rod and staff, to comfort us. And he prepares the table before us. When people mock us or mistreat us, those enemies, he's like, nope, I'm right there with you, girl. And he anoints our head with oil. He gives us verses that keep us going. It keeps our ministry going so that surely goodness will trot after us, will pursue us, is actually what that means. That goodness and mercy will chase us down all the days of our life. I love that word picture when you dig in and you find out what those words mean. It's a good reason to applaud God for being our good shepherd.
Pam, that, I mean, I've known your story, but, you know, forgot the nuances, but like to share with us such an amazing moment as a child, like just imagine the Father's affection for you as you're trying to put yourself between your raging father and your little siblings and memorizing scripture and trusting. I can only imagine God's heart beating out of his chest for you, Pam, and just how he's led you all the days, and to think that he had the vision for your life now. I mean, when I look at you, I think of Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the wonderful things he planned for us long ago. I mean, he planned that you would raise amazing sons who would marry amazing women and they would have grandkids. He planned for you to impact thousands and thousands of marriages and families by example. And when I look at what God can do in one generation, when one person trusts him, it is an absolute marvel. So I just, my hat is off to God, but it's also off to you for trusting him and daring to follow where he leads, Pam. I just can't say that enough. Wow.
It is. And I think that's why we have so much in common, Susie, because we have experienced that powerful transformation, and we know it's there for any woman,
amen,
any man, any child even that wants to have God be their good shepherd. He's right there. All we have to do is a whisper away, God, not my will, but yours. God, please come into my life. Jesus, be my best friend, my Savior, my Lord. That, those were child words. They weren't fancy words. They weren't big, epic prayers. They were whispers, a cry of my heart. And that's where hope, God sends hope. I love Psalms 42 and 43. It kind of gives us a guideline on how to get hope into our life. And that is, I just went to Niagara Falls. And when you're at Niagara Falls, there's these falls that if you get under those falls, it feels like they're going to like push you down and you're going to drown. You just feel like, God, I'm drowning here. I'm drowning here. And one of the harder psalms to understand are parts of Psalms 42 and Psalms 43. You know, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I remember you. why have you forgotten me? I go to mourning. Why are you downcast on my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? And that downcast means depressed, and turmoil within me means those inner murmurings in our brain we can't shut off late at night. And but it gives God gives us the answer. So we cry out, God, where are you? And it just seems so far away. It feels like I'm in this horrible, Niagara Falls, and I'm just drowning here with all these horrible things that are happening to me. And then he tells us, hope in God and praise him. That will be your salvation. Mm-hmm. And that is, I want everybody to just picture that right now you might be feeling like it's just one bad thing after another, just a waterfall of negativity, and you feel like you're drowning in it. But the Lord says, praise me. Your hope's going to come if you praise me. And so you just step out just a little bit as you raise up, okay, by faith, I'm praising you. I'm praising you, you're a sovereign king. I'm praising you, you're in control. I'm praising you, my good shepherd. I'm just going to choose to praise you for the things I know about you. And then it's like you're in the midst of that waterfall, and it's refreshing and encouraging. So just by praising, we can shift our position in that waterfall. And in part of Psalms 42, it says, I send out my truth. It means he dispatches truth to us. He sends out light, and that light is the kind of light that pierces the darkness like the dawn. And that's the kind of hope that God wants to give every person in the audience today. That they might be feeling dark. They might be feeling like this is the hardest Christmas ever. But if we jump into the Word, we will see him give a verse that will break the darkness with hope. And it comes by praising.
Praising. Love it. Finding Hope. Talking to Pam Farrell. She co-authored an amazing study with Jean Jones. Illustrator is Carla Dornacher. I think I'm saying her name right. Title of the study, it's a big, thick workbook, Discovering Hope in the Psalms. This may be just what your heart needs. I wish we had 100 copies to give away. We got a few, though, so email. What's the email? I just had a brain freeze. I know it now. I know it. Erin got a little nervous. But here it is. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. Put Psalms in the subject line. Do remember that mailing address. More great conversation with my friend Pam Farrell in a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a fantastic conversation with Pam Farrell. She co-wrote this beautiful big Bible study, Discovering Hope in the Psalms. And if you just hopped in your car, this is one I want you to go back and catch the whole program. Pam has had just pearls of wisdom like you cannot believe, especially if you're walking through a season when you just need some encouragement, need a reminder that God is with you. She talked about earlier that hope is an expectancy, waiting for God to show up and show off for your good and for his glory. And Pam, I'm looking at Psalm 51 now. I'll just read a portion of it. This is the psalm that you say is the hope of mercy. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Then he goes on, purge me and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you've broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. And create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Talk about that hope of mercy in that psalm.
And so this is when David had just made a really big mess of his life, made a lot of bad choices that a lot of men in the headlines are finding themselves in right now. Same kind of bad choices in the way he had treated women. And his kingdom was a little bit unraveling because he had made a series of, like, Bathsheba, then mistreated Bathsheba's husband, and Uriah, then he ended up dead. And, I mean, this king, some bad stuff. He had really strayed. You know, he was not being a Psalms 1 tree at this point, let's just say that, in all those decisions. And he knew his only hope Like, the only way I'm going to get out of this mess is if you deliver me, God. There's no other way. Like, I can't, there's nothing in me that can fix this situation. I've messed up so bad. And, you know, that his honesty here is what I love. And when I studied Psalms 51, one of the things that I do to really get more out of the scripture when I study is I have a like a 12-colored pen that I, you know, just picked up online, and I underlined every one of the things that David was asking God to do for him. And they're all, you know, actions. You know, God, blot out my transgressions, wash me, cleanse me, justify me, delight in me, purge me with hyssop, wash me, hear me, let me hear joy and gladness that comes only from you, create in me a clean heart. And so I went through with color, and I just wrote down all the things that only God can do for us. And then I went through and saw the results. The results is we get a clean heart, that we're not cast away from God's presence, that he can restore the joy of our salvation. He can hold us up if we just give him a willing spirit. And verse 13 is the turning point. And as a result, if we just surrender and say, wow, God, I made a mess of this. Here are the broken pieces. If you can at all use them or at all use me, I know that it's a work only you can do. Here's the result. And 13, I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will return to you. People that are far from God can see transformation in their life too. As we turn over the broken pieces of our lives and say, you know what, God, I kneel before you and only you can fix this, then God can take our pit and turn it into a pulpit. God can take our mess and turn it into a message. Those might seem cliche, but when you see God do it in your life, and
there's nothing cliche about it, you know?
That's right. Life change. I'm addicted to life change. Love that. And that's really what Psalms 51 is just all about, is what do you do when you don't know what to do?
Wow.
Because you've made the mess of your life, not circumstances, not hard things in the world. Nope, you with your own hand. The hope comes from God alone there as well.
But I loved the advice you suggest in this chapter. You boldly ask for mercy.
And one of the things I wanted to mention in Psalms 51, I mean Psalms 42, let me get back to that page. Actually, I'm going to hop over.
I want to ask you about this. Pam, can you hear me?
One of my very favorite verses in Psalm 73, and oftentimes I'll sign Discovering Hope in the Psalms with this section, is... it's just like this person is like at the end of his wits. People are hunting him down. He doesn't know where to turn. He doesn't know who to trust. He feels like he may have been in captivity even when he wrote the, Psalm 73. It's just he's in a hard, hard place. And he feels like terror has just swept over him. And, you know, that word terror is in our world a lot these days, terrorists and terrorists. And this would be that Psalms 73. And Psalm 73, 23, though, said, nevertheless, I am continually with you. God, you hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you receive me into glory. Who have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire beside you. And here comes the promise. My flesh, my body, my heart may even fail. But God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. And as I dug into that, what does it mean to have God be the strength of your life? That word strength is the high, strong stone mountain that they used to put fortified cities on top so you could see your enemies, but you would be in the walled-in city in a safe place, protected. It was a place people used to flee to. And I thought, that's exactly what God wants us to do. God wants us to just flee to him, to his strong character. And when we get there, we see that God is our portion forever. And I'm like, what's that portion thing? What does that mean? And it's the same word that's used in the prayer of Jabez, that God might extend my borders. So God has a allotment. God has a blessing. And he has a ministry for each one of us to live out. And he will give us the strength to live that out if we will just always run to him.
Boy, it's a good word. I wanted to jump back to the mercy psalm, talking about, you said to boldly ask for mercy, to honestly confess sin, and then to confidently wait for hope. And I liked boldly asking for mercy. That's an interesting juxtaposition, because normally when we're asking for mercy, we're not really bold. But that does, to me, speak of an heir status, when we can know that we can come to him and we must come to him. I think we tend to keep him at an arm's distance when we blow it. So talk about what that looks like, to boldly come before him for mercy. I think she can't hear me. I'm wondering, do you have, okay, we just got a few minutes left, so I'm going to just take a couple minutes just to talk with you as we get ready to wrap up. But I'm just thinking, I've said this before, but my heart is so for friends who are hurting in this time of year, and maybe you're somebody who desperately needs a fresh word from God. Well, I just want to take a moment to encourage you to, and in fact, I have to tell you, I have a friend who's, for 2 years, they've been unemployed, they've been hurting, it feels she's battled in health, and I have watched them put their flag in the ground to say, we've been through hard times before, we'll be go through hard times again, but we are going to declare that God is who he says he is. He will do what he says he'll do, and we are going to trust him, and we are going to wait here in the meantime. And now there are moments in that time, in that those seasons, where they would need friends to hold up their arms, because they would say, I'm struggling today. He seems silent. The heavens are silent today. I don't know what he's doing. They would call friends. We would pray, and they would get on their feet again. And it is absolutely amazing to me, because now, just this morning, I got a message from her, and God has miraculously broken through. He's opened doors. He's changed the season in ways that are above and beyond her wildest dreams. Like, he's been working on something. He's had something up his sovereign sleeve that she could only have dreamt about. And it was just a reminder yet again that this is what God does. So if you're in the time in between, remember that he's good. Obey him when it doesn't suit you. Trust him in the dark seasons, and keep going back to his word instead of numbing out just as you're biding your time. This is a time for active listening, a time to put that flag in the ground, to time to declare, you know what? He is going to triumph. He will break through, and I will be glad that I trusted him. I want to just pray, if I could. Give me some prayer music here, Aaron. And Jesus, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you are a breakthrough God, that you are very much in tune with the slightest details of our life. You know every hair on our head. You know every tear we've cried. You know the heartbreak that hides deep in our hearts, that even some of our loved ones don't even know how bad some things hurt. And I just pray that you tend to those things today, and you give us a fresh vision for what breakthrough looks like. Give us the strength to go on and trust you and put one foot in front of the other. We can't please you without faith. So fill our hearts with that gift of faith so we can give it back to you, Jesus. And even now we say thank you for the breakthrough that is coming. Even now we say you are good. In the meantime, you came to earth to save us, to destroy the works of the enemy, and to write a promise over our lives. So we keep marching, we keep believing, we keep trusting, knowing that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God, you're good. Your promises are true, and you will always make a way for us. And so we worship you. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error.
Wow. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this too. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.